that has made the name of TIFR known worldwide, especially in the field of cancer research. And Dr. Dinesh Daftari, today's speaker, was one of the prominent members of that unit, which was headed by Dr. Fali Mehta. And we were very fortunate that when he was here, we had an opportunity to interact with him quite often. So with those words, and I think you must have read this, I think I will invite Dr. Dinesh Daftari.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can I close the lights?
Yeah.
Slide one. You can get the first slide.
That's it.
We can close the lights. But let me first thank the Professor Narasimhan. I was told he is considered to be a DNA of TIFR. So that's a new thing. Professor Satyanarayan and friends Dr. Pawan Agarkar, who asked me to do this presentation here. And I thank them for giving me this honor. Now this is a colloquium that we have said on oral cancer research insights. Now most of the people here might just be wondering, okay, why the dentist in TIFR? TIFR was recognized as the most elite center for elite sciences. Why this dental surgeon is working with us? I need to give a little bit of background for you to get into the picture as to what TIFR basic aim was, in a way, with Homi Bhabha at that time into the picture, the matter of vision. And it was because of his vision we were there. I give a little bit of story, but before that, I realized I in 1965 or 66, I was in Nair Hospital Dental College, and my colleague Dr. Fali Mehta, who was a chief of dental section here, also was with me, was a teacher of mine. And we realized during those period of the time that dentistry was okay, and that time dentist means what? Tooth and nothing but the tooth, and that was the truth. Even today professional people have the similar type of concept. But those days we were looking at some lesions in the mouth and we was wondering what that could be. Tata Memorial Hospital was very active working on cancers. But there has always been an observation by Tata Memorial Hospitals that before they see the cancer, they see something else. But they were possibly were too busy to handle only that cancer and never decided what was there before that went into cancer. So that in that situation, we were working with Bombay policemen who were using a lot of tobacco coming from Ratnagiri area. And we tried to follow up these cases. And from that, the idea emerged that we need to do something about oral cancer in this country because it was a national problem. During those days, they said about 30% of the cancers would occur in oral and hypopharynx, which is a large figure and large number. But during those days, everybody wanted to treat cancers. Now, at that time, I was fortunate enough that I was speaking at Bangalore in one of the meetings. I met one of the Professor Pinbog, who was here as WHO consultant, who was a brilliant guy working in Copenhagen on similar field in Denmark. And it clicked, myself, Professor Pinbog, and Dr. Fali Mehta, and we decided that we initiate something. And that was the reason we felt, where do we initiate things? What should be our base? Dr. Mehta, being a dentist here and also at NIAR, he felt TIFR was a key place to be in. To indicate that at that stage also with Homi Bhabha, that you can consider moving into this area to do pre-cancer cancer studies speaks volumes of Homi Bhabha. But before we could do that, I had to meet Homi Bhabha way back in 1966. I can picture myself what I was and then. I met him at Dr. Mehta's office. He interviewed me sort of for 3 hours. It was an interacting conversation on various facets of life, living, science, research and so forth. And then he said, you are in. And that's how our significant steps of the research got started at that stage. That is why I give you the background that was our introduction to TIFR. Now it was way back in 1933 also, the issue was raised in British Parliament first time on tobacco. Now, when I was going to New York in June, I realized that Homi Bhabha was brought alive by controversy because of money that was going to go to NCPA because of the sale of the bungalow. And I thought there are many more reasons why Homi Bhabha should be thought of and not merely for the bungalow that he possessed. And a little note I passed on to the director as well as to the DN here, sir, and Dr. Agarkar, to and Kishore Menon about Homi Bhabha Pratapi Purush. It was my remembrance and my reminiscences of Homi Bhabha, which I wrote in published in Bhavan's journal, which brought out the vision of this gentleman, Homi Bhabha. This was a base, and Homi Bhabha gave us the position and power to work here. And we started applying for the research grant. And National Institute of Health, USA, Bathisa, has been working extensively on cancer. And that time, US Surgeon General always had a tobacco policy. And during that period of time, they were always interested in that tobacco policy because America was alert enough to understand that tobacco is one factor which should be controlled. And we wrote a grant. And as I told you, I wrote a grant to make a thought shift from cancer to pre-cancer. Cancer was known, well known, talked about it. But for the first time I realized that we need to have a thought shift because it's oral, it's easier to identify the lesion. And at that period, I remember that we were here in TIFR and we had applied a grant and we were meeting Homi Bhabha on the foyer near the stairs. And I remember Homi Bhabha telling me and Dr. Mehta that if NIH refuses the grant by 1 naira paisa, you refuse the grant, I shall fund your research for as long as you wish. And I shall, if the things go all right, I shall establish a National Institute of Dental Research also. Nobody realized that those were the last words which Homi Bhabha spoke to us, because all of you know, he left in the evening and next morning he died in that Mont Blanc area on a Kashmir princess. But the stage was set, we were in. We had initially only the 45 square feet which Dr. Agarkar enjoys it right now more than that, was a room that was given to me to initiate the research. This is the background which I would like you to tell why we were here at TIFR. It's like coming back home. So TIFR was a place which Homi Bhabha's vision we could come. And as I would consider this like a Sherlock Holmes, we went at that time like risen backwards. And this is the same thing Mr. Siddharth Mukherjee wrote in Emperor of Melodies. We had to decide why and what reason the thing goes into cancer, what happens before cancer. So the first ever in the history of the world, we established a pre-cancer registry and not cancer registry, which is existing all over the country and the world. And we decided to set up this pre-cancer registry in the rural area where the tobacco habits are variable and at various places. But the needle of suspicion for various diseases, the patterns have changed over a period of years after we started working on it. And this picture that you see consists of 32 habits only. But if I genuinely want to study the chewing and tobacco habits in this country, even a full catalog would not be sufficient. That's the kind of a variable habit that is existing right from Manipur, Mizoram to here in South in India. If one has to do a systemic study to realize what rich habits that India has, maybe not realizing what problem it might create. And therefore we selected 5 different states in India and we established this precancer condition. Leukoplakia is regarded in a simple language as a precancerous condition. This was the definition we were part of at the WHO meeting in 1972. We were very active at WHO because we were the ones who had the knowledge. Apart from the knowledge, we had the lesions, we had the cases unfortunately, and we could study them. Now this can be a simple lesion like this, which is a white patch, which is innocuous enough for you to be not recognized, including the practitioners. And maybe it's fine, it may remain innocuous, or it can go into this particular stage. I'll quickly run over some of the clinical cases and so forth, to, as Professor Narasimhan said, to make it as simple as possible from this point. Or you can land up into this cancer here. But the initiation happened the way I showed it. It can happen that way. Directly, very rarely you get a de novo cancers. It does happen, I won't deny the fact. But mainly associated relationship with tobacco does happen. Now this is one of the chewing habits on that. This is what all of you are in Maharashtra would realize, that this is a very common mystery habit of using a burnt tobacco, and most of the maids of the domestics do use this habit. But under this mystery of burnt tobacco, you can see this kind of a lesion, and not leaving it as it is and continuing with it, you may end up doing this also. These are genuine, I mean, these are true pictures. It does happen. Even today you can see them. During those years, of course, you would see them more often, but this is also one can be seen. Now, this is for the first time we recognize this one of these habits in Bhavnagar district where Professor Pankaj Joshi comes from. It was never recognized, never ordered. But I have written their word, the pipeful meditation, why people indulge in habits. This is one of the very classic way of doing clay pipe becomes heat. You can see the a kind of a meditation postures for on the face of the senior citizen who is smoking. The lesion will occur on the both upper lip and lower lip. And as Eric Fromm said it, you indulge in all this kind of a thing because your all senses get into the act. Your smell, your hand, your brain, and you know the whole pleasure, the plethora of the things that get associated, and that's why you get into habit, and therefore it's difficult to give up that habit. But this is what happens in these areas, and you can get into the malignancy also at some stage. All of them don't, of course, but you are liable to get into the situation. Another typical habit which occurs in smokers with a BD mainly in there. Our gardeners at TIFR had many of these lesions. We used to examine them regularly, we used to see them that they don't run into this situation. But it's a kind of a butterfly pattern, two on the commissures and on the palate. We can close the slide a little, the pictures can be a little more clear. And the thing is, most of the time, it was the Western authors who had studied the habits into the Western country where it had this different type of parietal lesion. With the Indian BD habits and Indian otherwise, the habits were very different and sometimes was not able to identify the pictures. We had to make a special identification or classification of these parietal lesions. This is something that you can see here in a smoker. A localized atrophy, you see anything that occurs on the tongue where you lose the papillae, it's prone for a change. Papilla is a protective layer. Now, at those days it was realized by earlier workers that it could be a part of the developmental anomaly or it could be a part of the smoker. It appeared to be it's a part of the smoking, but it was superimposed with the fungus infection, and when you treat them, otherwise lots of biopsies would have been done from those areas and they wouldn't find nothing on that. And this is the coronal lesion. You can get a commissural lesion in a smoker and you can end up getting into malignancy like that. This is from Kerala. Now here when we got these cases, I mean in Kerala, we were working in rural India like Kerala, Andhra, Bihar, Gujarat, Maharashtra and Goa also. And here you can see, during that place, in Ernakulam district and Pichanikad in those regions, we had one German doctor, a nice fellow. He was doing his work for the people in Kerala. And he was the one who got operated. The limitation of the surgical operation was there because beyond that, nothing can be done. There was a morbidity of this kind, but there was nothing anybody can do about it. But at the same time, you can see a lesion at that stage. And if you look at this, the lesion is small, the treatment gain is big, primary lesion. The lesion is big, but the treatment gain is nil. It's a cost-benefit analysis when you identify a lesion at a stage. This is, I call it, indigenous habits of river smoking. Here in Srikakulam area in Andhra, where you have Adapuga as a habit, the river smoke. And here you can see the fiery bliss that she has, but she has a bliss on her face all right. But the temperature up there in the palate can be pretty high. This is the good times cheer. This picture was taken from the film that we had made. We won the first prize in the Internet Cancer Hospital. I couldn't pick up a picture of this. Actually, to be clear, you must realize how a socio-cultural aspects of the country affect the pattern of habits. In Andhra Pradesh, particularly the girls or the ladies who smoke this kind of a reefer, what happens to them that they want to smoke. The husbands are fishermen and they don't want them to know that they are smoking. So when they go to the sea with the boats, they start smoking reefers. So the smoke is not seen by them. They don't want the house to be dirty, but they don't mind the ash falling on the floor of the mouth. And there are gusty winds so that it would get extinguished if they were to smoke correctly. And when they're working with both hands, they would tell their daughter, a young girl, to go and pick up the chutta from the neighboring kisok. She cannot bring the chutta as it is because she had to light a chutta and bring it. Now, if she lights it, she must smoke it because otherwise it gets extinguished. So from the age of 7 or 8, the girls get into the habit of smoking adda poga or reverse chutta. And we used to get cancers in Srikakulam area even at the age of 21, 25, even way back in 1966 or 68 in our first studies. All this thing was done where we had examined 10,000 people. This one of our primary objective was to study the life cycle of leukoplakia. That 10,000 people in a house-to-house survey in the villages of different parts as I've just mentioned, for 10 years, each was picturized, each was biopsied, and each was followed up. And this was the thing in Srikakulam area. And because you smoke reefers, you get, even the tongue gets affected and you can get a pathology in the tongue as cancer. Simply speaking, a wide range of precancers can end a common tragic way of cancer. So now if I come to a simple thing, what happened to the leukoplakia we studied? Does it remain as it is? Because it was the first time ever in the history of the world somebody studied a precancer in its totality in a natural environment. Malignant regression or after regress, would it recur? Here you can find a very classic leukoplakia, and in the center, I think there is a, you can see in the center the nidus of cancer growing, which show there is a tobacco related lesion, and here you find there is a cancer growing in the center. That was, some of these lesions go into cancer. Here you have a leukoplakia, an nodular leukoplakia, this is for definition, and 40 year female, 2 years later carcinoma. Similarly, a white leukoplakia, which we showed you earlier as an example. But what surprised me was, or us, that we were continuing with the habit. We were not intervening for them to give up their habit. It's a natural environment. But 43% of those leukoplakia regressed. So that's a very good clinical indication that every leukoplakia you see, you don't biopsy or you don't interfere with it. But that's a clinical way of looking at it, how to go about it. But 43% leukoplakia just went away in spite of the continuation of the habits. The simple findings, though, that incidence of precancer lesion like leukoplakia almost exclusively among people with tobacco habits, carcinomas exclusively among tobacco habitues, all carcinomas originated from precancer lesion. We thought we hit the jackpot or bedrock of prevention. In simple language, like Environmental Protection Agency, you give up tobacco, you go off cancer. It's as simple a solution as that, but it's never going to be safe. Cancer is a very complex biological situation. But this is what we found after 10 years of study. So we formulated what I call, you know, for this presentation for general people, that precancer is where tobacco is, cancer is where precancer is, and this is the truth of our story, originated from way back. There's one more condition which I think all of you must be aware of now, is a progressive inability to open the mouth, which is oral cervical fibrosis. This was an enigma during those years in 1966. It was first identified in 1954 by Dr. Joshi in Pune. It was at the same time seen by Schwartz in Africa and Daman Lal in Indore. So they were not known, sure, but it appeared that they were not able to open the mouth. And that's a submucous fibrosis. We found in our study of 50,000 individuals, we found only 16 cases in Bhavnagar. You can see that all females, average of 39.4, and it was habit association was arekarnat. I have written there is a heart to crack, but does cause a disease. See what happens then. We went back in 1919 to the Bhavnagar to do our case control studies, and I found SMF overwhelmingly men in 97%, 79 under the age of 35 years, 22 in 15 to age group, is a strong habit of Mawa. There used to be only tobacco habit during those days, but this a new thing came up, Mawa, which is a combination of the thing and readily accessible, readily available for any kid. So you mix the thing and you chew it. And in Bhavnagar district, this was became very common because of the Hira Ghasu, the diamond polisher people sitting in the Bhavnagar area. They would do this work and keep chewing it. But what created an issue in Bhavnagar, this is a masala, pan mawa, what created an issue was that they would eat those things and that the plastic foil would be thrown out, aluminium foil, into the roads, and that blocked the gutter of Bhavnagar. And that, well, it became a civic issue. Therefore, it came into the light about this particular habit. Because all this blocking the government, I mean the gutter and things like that. But you see back from 1966, 1990, now 1998, what happened? We found in a case control studies here, in our one of our colleague, Dr. Sino, who used to be a dentist, worked with us, he's still there in Bhavnagar. We worked in that clinic, and you can see what happened. That 164 cases were diagnosed, 16 cases in 10,000 of those days, 164, you can see the prevalence suddenly became 3.2%. An increase in the prevalence of SMF became very necessary, and the age group went down. Now we all knew that SMF going with the tobacco can lead to cancer. But there's another thing we found out in those days in our research group, that cervical fibrosis, which is progressive and elevated open the mouth because of the collagen deposition, has a different type of a regional location. In Kerala, when you chew Arakannad, you chew with tobacco and pan, with tobacco and pan. In Pune, you only chew Arakannad without tobacco. And here again, as I told you before, I bring this picture out here, why people, you got to be in Kerala to realize, they will be oiling the hair of each other's. The whole afternoon will go away. The picture is not very good, but there is a little vessel there in which they will pick up a little Arakannad, chew for a little while, then mix it with a little lime, smile, joke, and the whole process will take about 1.5 to 2 hours. They were in the bliss, they were in the tranquility of a very great order, not realizing that this can be a serious health hazard. And you find, because they use Arakannad with tobacco, they swallow it. They spit it out because tobacco can't be swallowed. So you find it was the entire part of the mouth got affected with the fibrosis, which means there's a collagen deposition. Collagen is one of the very tough nut to crack, and is more than 640 amino acids on that. And this is what the entire part of the mouth got affected with the deposition of the collagen. And you had sometimes petechial hemorrhages, which were not blood dyscrasias. And in Pune, you got mainly the posterior part of the mouth. Today is very common disease. Almost every nook and corner, everybody must be knowing about this disease. But what was unknown became a very known factor during our research. Indian market in Pan Masala in 1995. During that year, I was been visiting South Africa a number of times. Because the Indian community in South Africa, mainly Gujarati girls, ladies, who were not exposed to, because of the sanction, any other type of habit, but except the habit that they inherited or they took from their villages in India, and that was chewing Arakannad. And that is why we went to South Africa. It was close to apartheid time. We had tough experiences, but they thought that Arakannad will produce cancers. Today also there is a feeling the chewing of the Arakannad can lead to oral cancer. But the air power, you can see that, has created, even in 1995, it was 120 million pounds. These are, of course, you get different. All these pouches are pouches for carcinogen. It's total seduction, but at the wrong end or the upper end. Now, cancer is rejuvenated. during earlier days, after 90s, when Gutkha was not in the picture, if you look at the Indian Cancer Registry, the cancer of the tongue and the in the oral cavity was showing a little decline. With the influx of Gutkha and Pan, you found that Gutkha gave a shot in the arm and now it started occurring in the young. And today it is a very serious issue. But we had this habit going on all over the country. The cancer was a poor man's disease and therefore not thought of. But now the cancer has come into the our bedrooms in view of the Gutkha, Pan Masala, those sachet going on, those boxes. A Marwari person would have it in his car, in his bedroom and everywhere. Because that habit has now brought cancer into the limelight and no more is a poor man's disease. And it's acquired a kind of a hello in a rich man's area. But when you had this, it was okay. Because the Gutkhas were not, plain tobacco chewing was there. Now these are DIFR studies which we said. All of them are DIFR studies of course. The relative risk with Mawa was 106.4. And the relative risk with Mawa plus betel quid was 780. A pretty huge. And as I would tell you from the Italian churches, Vatican, there used to be Father Borgia. When he would kill the person, he had a father too many children, he would use all the effort to see that they are killed. So he said two poisons are more lethal than one. So we had a tobacco and areca nut working together to see that the disease gets into fibrosis and cancer. When we started at TIFR, our consideration was 1966 only leukoplakia. But in 1966, SMA was there on the periphery. 2004, it became a force to reckon with. And it's a serious disease at this moment. Sometimes you wonder why people chew tobacco also. And you'll be surprised that in Kerala, that people take up tobacco 48% for toothache. And that is true. 48% of the people who picked up the habit on those days was because of the tooth related problems. This is the only study that we have in record right now, because we are the only ones who are able to follow something with fibrosis to prove a point that fibrosis, when followed up over a period of time, leads to malignant transformation rate of 7.6%. This is just an observation to let people know that 2% of only Indian will quit the habit, while so many people pick up the habit. Today, if you look at it, even this is also available to you in a sense that person have tell your boy can't open the mouth. I remember in certain areas in Maharashtra, with uncle, when the child is crying, the uncle would give tobacco to the child to keep him quiet rather than give him a chocolate or anything. It's a fact. And I've seen it happening during the polio vaccine drive, and that again in Nagpur, that in order the child to take the polio, the mother would first give a tobacco, the child would remain quiet and the polio vaccine would be taken. So this is the kind of a habit now is coming up, and you never know whose mouth would get affected with the fibrotic change. Now today this fellow, and unfortunate part of it, there is no treatment in a true sense of the word. India could collapse. This is the slide was made when we were globalized. And those days, all the meeting, Gutkha used to sponsor film fair meets and all that kind of a thing. So this was a pun in those days that this Gutkha has not sponsored any of our meets. Now Gutkha is a chew now, cancer it later. It's a game changer. If tobacco lobby were to have a tobacco today and you get cancer, tobacco lobby is not interested in you. His interest is only you chew now and you die later, because you want to write your balance sheets for 10 years and you write your death certificates after 10 years. That's acceptable. So this is now. Now how do you work on it? If you look at the whole, it's a very simplistic thing that all of these things are habit associated. The only difference in leukoplakia, you get a lesion when you apply tobacco. In submucous fibrosis, the entire mouth is amenable to get into a malignant change, because the whole mouth gets affected and therefore you can get cancers all over the places. You can have total depapillated tongue with the cancer growing in the front, on the lower lip, and you can in these areas also. And this person could not open the mouth at all related to the habits. So from hukka to gutka is an evolution that has caused more harm, if you look at the death rates all over the world. Now 30 years of work, over 200,000 population in 7 Indian states was done by us. As I told you before, the significant steps were taken in this place, in our dental section, by Homi Bhava, and entire TIFR supported us, and it was fully supported by NIH for 30 years. I might tell you something, that during this grant was coming for renewal once, and there was a Bangladesh war was going on, everything between Indo-US was suspended. Nixon and Kissinger on one side, Indira Gandhi on the other side, our grant was coming for renewal, but it went through. That was the position of the grant that we had undertaken and which we did. And this is just a picture of those times. Dr. Pawar wasn't there at that stage, but that is Dr. Fali Mehta on the left side, in case if you... That was Professor Pinberg. I don't need to identify myself. This is our secretary, who did a wonderful job. During those days, we had to calculate by sitting at 12 o'clock of this 200,000 people data. You can imagine, there are no computers. You had to sit on the table and do the job. We used to come here to work almost up to 11:30, 12. And these are the doctors who worked with us. And all of these people are the backbones of this entire research. I happen to be speaking for you or speaking here, but basically it's a teamwork where we had more than 100 people all over the area, including our drivers and everything, working with us. And sometimes I wonder, I was giving a tribute, I'm just aside, I was giving a tribute once to Dr. Fali Mehta when he died at Taj, and I mentioned the fact that I'm in this wonderful hotel of Taj, made by the pioneer of the industrialist Jamshedji. Then I'm speaking about Fali Mehta, and then already, and my work, it was related to TIFR of Homi Bhabha. All three are Parsis. So I coined that thing, the Parsis are like Farsi. They can look ahead, sort of a thing. But this is what, coincidence or otherwise, we were lucky enough to do this job in this part of the world. I'm sure you remember the location where this picture would be taken. Still a great place. We have enormous data. This is just a few of it. We have more than 100 publications. This is one book. We have three of these books on publication of dental research, plus contributing chapters from three films and so forth. And to that extent, WHO also awarded a special status of WHO Center for Prevention of Oral Cancer. You may be happy to know, it's our TIFR study was documented by Maharashtra government to introduce the ban of pan masala in this state of Maharashtra as a government gazette. It's all because of TIFR studies. Way back when the steps were taken and Homi Bhabha gave us a position, I'm sure nobody would have realized it, we would reach that far in the health sector. The lessons learned. Biodiversity, oral cancer is not an effective target lesion. Fault of intervention is pre-cancer because the course and cure are well established. If you avoid the habit, persistent persuasion, you may get a reversal of the lesion. And as I tell, etiology is simple. Tobacco leukoplakia, arachnoid fibrosis. In simple language, eat and be damned. Tobacco root, piggy bank or betel leaf. And now arachnoid, in 1985, International Association of Research Cancer decided to put arachnoid as one of the carcinogens. As far as India is concerned, I still would not be convinced about arachnoid as the. Even in fibrosis, arachnoid may cause fibrosis, but the cancer would only occur if the man has a habit of tobacco. But if you go down to Papua New Guinea, China, Taiwan in particular, or South Korea, Indonesia, there are plenty of arachnoid chewing habits, and there is a cases being reported. I went to see South Africa, but I was not convinced about those cases of cancer in Arakanut concentration. Oh, this is again interesting. Okay. Arakanut association with SM of a true association. Now, primary prevention would be that if you give up the habit, you are fine. And therefore, what we did in a 10-year study of the cohorts, we did another study of intervention where we decided to see that the people give up the tobacco habits. And the leukoplakia incidence reduced. From there, you can conclude that reduction and regression of the lesion can lead to reduction of the incidence of cancer. This is what you can see here. Regression of leukoplakia. While we were at those days of 10-year study, when we started working on it, another study emerged that oral cancer managed to spring up in a person with no tobacco habit. And so I called it malignant punishment to habit innocent. This is a courtesy Dr. Bose who worked with us. It is a slide from Goa where you got a cancer on the lateral surface of the tongue, no habits. There are many of these things. Now, question will always come of which pre-cancer will go which way. And all of you are scientists would know Heisenberg's theory of uncertainty or certainty. It is all probability, and probability is a state of knowledge greater than ignorance, less than certainty. It's like a kesara kesara. Today also, but you can still, we have enough clinical understanding to realize what are dangerous. And in our nodular leukoplakia, which we have identified as the highest malignant, I'm sorry, my phone. I don't know. So this is like kesara kesara. Now, if I want to be a little philosophical on the issue, because when you are dealing with a complex cancer in a complex environment with a complex biology, can we work on science of causalism? Now, if I were to do in the tobacco tumor trice, there is a presence of non sequitous and the absence of sine qua non. Tobacco precancer cancer, that's what we studied and we followed. Non sequitur means does not follow. Sine qua non would imply without which not. In simple language, tobacco can lead to precancer and cancer, but theoretical observation apart, tactical level, both can occur sans tobacco. And therefore, if you don't accept that fact, then you are suppressing the truth and you are suggesting a falsehood. So you can say that absence of absolute proof does not predict absolute absence of common sense. We have more than 91% of the relative risk with tobacco. Now that sort of an evidence is good enough for anybody not to touch tobacco as far as the oral cavity is concerned. That certain habits could initiate cancer, it is better to avoid these habits. Now what are the factors that work in a body in a dynamic life? You will never be able to come around with it. But absence of evidence is not evidence of absence, which everybody knows. And therefore, after we left 30 years of work, I have been continuously working on that. And therefore, in this kind of rational scientific analysis, you still have to accept the fact that there is a certain temporal and associated habits also relation. So we published a paper on that, temporal of tobacco in oral carcinogenesis. Our prime point is to work on, prioritize on pre-cancer. And if we work on pre-cancer, probability that we will reach some stage of reduction in the incidence of cancer. So that's why temporal role of tobacco, not causative role of tobacco. And the cardinal effect, what I thought was spontaneous and instructed reversibility of pre-cancer, which is possible, which has been shown. And the absolute irreversibility of fear accompanied cancer is the heart of this communication. Oral cancer is not reversible at all, compelling all of us to profitably prioritize our attention on pre-cancer rather than end up with only palliation of an obstinate cancer. If I just change this healthcare system, smoking may be regarded not the leading cause of the death, but it is a leading cause of preventable death. So if one can follow this, as Dr. Agarwal wants to work on prevention, oral cancer is our limitation, pre-cancer is our scope. Worrying about cancer is important. Hurrying on this pre-cancer is an important thing. And therefore, if you want to avoid this high morbidity, poor prognosis, mutilating disease in socio-psychological pregnancy, we need to work on this. It's the easiest thing to work in India because most of the cancers occur in buccal mucus, are easily seen, easily identifiable. And therefore, in India, in villages, if one fellow gets cancer, almost 10 people around the family suffers. But the entire family gets into that situation. Here people say new cancer develop in India and 15% are diagnosed with the disease localized. I have an argument on that because nowadays patients do go to a doctor, maybe Ayurvedic, maybe Unani, maybe homeopath, maybe anybody. But I have realized people do go. It's sometimes that they are not trained enough to identify lesion. Even earlier years, Tata Memorial Hospital didn't have a preventive oncology department. And my question is on these, that when you are a junior most person can't see a first case of a lesion because he can only identify cancer, he doesn't know the small lesions. And the senior most person has no time to look at the lesion. So unless you train them properly, these things are bound to happen and you are going to miss. Oral precancer key. We have got so many things that are employed nowadays with this kind of MRIs and all that thing with the fancy instrument and visualization and brush biopsy and so forth. But latest has achieved the list. I think the answer would be very simple, and in precancer cancer, we have worked on it, we can say simplicity as the answer. I can just give you roughly a few slides here. Today, even in this is a Neil Johnson work, I have written a book with him. But this is he even in Western world says the 6th most common cause of cancer. And today, if anybody who is connected with family members of cancer and otherwise, you realize this point very well, that escalating spiral of expenses have been direct proportion to exasperating spiral of expectations. And unfortunately for oral cancer, you can minimize almost everything because oral lesions are easily seeable. You can feel it, small biopsy is sufficient for us to understand what it is, and you can follow up the lesion. Moral, be suggestive. Because we are dealing with human beings, not assertive, be friendly without being a crusader or reformer. You have got to be. In these days of effluenza, like everybody, as I told you, effluenza, it's not just, everybody is effluent enough to indulge in habits. Lifestyle is not easy. And this is where I go into the old Mahabharata of Duryodhana's dilemma, that I know what I ought to do and jolly well don't. That's the Mahabharata observation of Duryodhana. And janami adharmam nachama nivruti, also know what I ought not to do and persist in doing the same. The human nature has not changed. This is a limerick from Sandoz times of those years in medical times, and it says very clearly that my doctors made a prognosis, intercourse fosters thrombosis, but I would rather expire fulfilling the desire than abstain and develop neurosis. So we are dealing with human beings, human nature, you can't be excluded. Every cancer may not be curable, but it can always be curable. The famous words in the medical sciences is a cure rarely, comfort mostly, console always and in always. We do a therapy, but somebody really cures it. Thank you very much for your patient hearing, enjoyed talking to you in TIFR. Thank you very much. Yeah.
You have indicated that if you discontinue tobacco, the leukoplakia will certainly recede.
No.
Or in some cases will recede. But does it happen also with the SMF if you stop chewing?
See, I'll put it this way to you. Leukoplakia is a localized lesion. What tobacco does is other systemic problems also. Our confinement is tobacco. Oral cancer is still high and we can work on it. But if you stop tobacco, if you can call it like an irritation obsession, the lesion does tend to change. This is because we have followed up people, 10 years was the one study, but beyond that we have got a pocket of studies of 5,000 people, which has been done for 20-25 years also. We have also seen the cases when the lesion regresses, does it recur? So as I told you, when you have publication of blood maintenance, this is a kind of a simplistic presentation of our own research based at TIFR. But the fact is, 90% of the time, all these cancers are related to tobacco. The relative risk is very high. So if you avoid the return, probability is that you are on a safer ground.
My second part of the question was that does it happen also with the areca nut?
Areca nut only to me causes fibrosis. So once the fibrosis occurred, areca nut may not be able to help out. Only the intensity of the closeness of the mouth can be reduced. So therefore, if you are on a follow-up, and we have also seen in our studies, which I have not mentioned here, that we have been able to identify the preclinical changes of fibrosis, which we can identify in the mouth. Okay, this will lead to fibrosis, and we have seen the results, we have published that paper. But the fact remains, when you take areca nut, and I tell you very honestly, those who are in areca nut diabetes have been in this country for more than 2000 or 3000 years. But those who have been eating in natural supari, comparatively much less problem. But now manufactured supari, industrial supari, commercial supari, those pan masala, I don't know what it contains. But that has created a havoc in India. This inevitable, I mean, I don't have to mention, but everybody knows, Sharad Pawar has got the same problem. We had many people. And I do remember, I can openly say, because Mrs. Seksaria who had it, and we were at the press conference on that, and somebody asked him, why did you take it? And you know what was his answer? He cried. Nobody told me. So you can't take things for granted. It is somebody should be made aware of and told. And it's a fact. Who will get it, we don't know. It's like still a kesara, kesara. Not really. The chewing gum is a habit that has gone into it for various reasons. But our dental professional feels that chewing gum will enjoy your bite and strength of your teeth and release the saliva stimulation. But chewing gum has got nothing to do with the, from the habit relations. But those who chew gum, I have realized it one thing, they grow old, their mouth never stops. The teeth must keep moving. And I have realized many of the people whose teeth keep moving, and if their teeth are extracted, they just don't know what to maintain. Because the chewing habit will not go away, that impulse or the reflexes. So chewing gum, if you are doing for whatever reason, is fine. I mean, it has got nothing to do with this. As I told you, Eric Froman, we indulge in habits, we like it. We have a drink, we like it. So you have to accept something. Yeah. Yes, we have a high level of esophageal cancer in this country, and that sometimes is related to probably to one of the factors, areca nut swallowing, because esophageal cancer is very high in our country, and there has been a proof and association, and that's why basically, but I still have not been able to correlate or bring areca nut into IARC unit of carcinogenics. And once you get bracketed like that, it's like a psychiatric problems. They come out with a management, psychiatric management, they put the person into some kind of a bracket and you are stuck with it. And if areca nut gets stuck with it as it in IARC 85, there's already moved to put that thing in. You only need to figure it out. In India, I would not agree on that point. Not yet, at least. See, I'll put it, one day I was speaking in Nagpur, when you bring government into the picture, my only question is, it's the government who gives them a license to do on tobacco. And I can tell you what happened in Madhya Pradesh, the Temboni leaf which makes BD. Now, they tried to transfer that individuals to the cooperative unit, and Arjun Singh was the chief minister of Madhya Pradesh, and he lost the election because of that. The Temboni leaf, which is a part of the BD. And the fact is the government can't do too much because they think tobacco chewing is a state subject. Smoking is a central government subject. Therefore, the people who make gutkha and pan masala are the ones who are crying foul that you make me go against it. I mean, you make a law like that, but tobacco smoking continues. You'd be surprised to know that when we were doing the study, a parliament question was asked that we are being financed by CIA because in our rural India we did not talk anything about cigarette. So we are bringing the BD down. That was coming from that Maharashtra belt of Nipani, in that area, Bidi, Ganesh Bidi and Manipal. And the question was asked in Member of Parliament, we are to be investigated, the TIFR, that we are being funded by CIA to bring down cigarette, to bring down Bidi, so the cigarette can go up. Now in rural India, nobody smoked cigarette, used to, so we were not in the picture then. But it, and as I told Mr. Putra, who used to be there, how much it cost to give an answer to the Member of Parliament, because we went to Atomic Energy, Atomic comes here, this kind of, I prepare an answer, go there. He said it costs one question to answer during those days, it cost them 12 lakhs of rupees. But the government is totally into picture. They cannot give a license at one hand and then tell us to, tell the fellows not to do it. But government should take the initiative if the government wants it, but the lobby is too strong, I think. There's a lot of money in it.
You said that causes fibrosis, right?
Yes.
So, is the chemical content of oil carnet alone or something mixed with that?
Yes, agree with you. There's an alkaloid toxins, but plain natural oil carnet has not been able to give that kind of a fibrosis. It was there. But if somebody wants to investigate it, it's open forum to indicate all that pan masala ingredients to find out which, what induces that kind of a collagen deposition. But let me tell you one thing, SMA per se, I've seen not going into cancer. But SMA with gutka habit or mawa habit with tobacco does go into cancer. But areca nut creating a fibrosis was there, but not to this large proportion. Pan masala, you find it, I showed it to you even in the age of 12-year-old boy, not able to open the mouth. You must go to Rajkot to realize, okay, formally, you know, you go and buy something, say you give 10 rupees to go something, and if money is to be refunded, now they give sachet of pan masala and gutka to the child, so that he gets into the habit. Now that's the worst thing that can happen, do, because he doesn't have a discretionary power that this is not right. And you are indulging in him making an addict before he realizes what he is doing is not right. But this is very common in the villages of India, that when you give 10 rupees or 15 rupees, the money will, the return, instead of 4 rupees, he will give you 8 sachet of this gutka. And that's how the child gets into the habit. It might have it, but you have to inhale BD so strongly to satisfy yourself. And therefore the nicotine content becomes very stronger. If you look at the BD, like this lesion, in cigarette I may not see such intense lesion on the coming show. With BD, you really have to make sort of a, give it a power and the strength to smoke. The power that gets into the BD smoke is very deep and intense.
I mean,
you can try what you like, but pardon? No, I would not say that. But as I told you before, I mean, if you look at that, it's such a complex biology. Like if the Environmental Protection agencies were to come and factor and change your lifestyle, that's why I've been not exactly a crusader. Even when I was writing those words at the end of it, like effluence, a lifestyle easy, and people, you got to realize you're dealing with individuals. And that's why one of the reasons that I said you may be made aware of, beyond that you left to the person concerned, you can't be a crusader in life. That's all I'm trying to tell you. But I have seen that you can create this kind of an awareness situation where people themselves will not go into the habits. And it's, that is possible. You'll be surprised, even the villages of Andhra Pradesh, when they realize it, even the people who are selling were willing to cooperate.
Any other questions? Please let us thank Dr. Daftari for a frank presentation. And I invite all of you for the tea. Dr. Daftari will be available for discussion.